McLean Bible Church, good morning. How are we doing this morning? We good? Listen, if you don't know me, my name is Eric Saunders. I'm one of the pastors at our church, specifically at our Arlington location. This morning, I want to shout out NBC Arlington, our campuses in Loudoun, Prince William, and Montgomery County, and also everybody who's watching online. Today, I'm going to throw you a curveball. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Somebody say, woo, let's go. Let's go. We ready. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's go from verse 12 and let's head to verse 15. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15. And so the reason why I say that's a curveball, because we've been in the middle of a series in which we've been covering Genesis 1 and 2. And you saw it on the bumper there. It's about God's good design. And what we're trying to get at in the course of this series is this. I said Genesis 1 and 2 isn't just a story. Genesis 1 and 2 isn't just history. It certainly is those things. But Genesis 1 and 2 is also wisdom literature. And it means this, is that when you live your life along the grain of God's good design, you can expect to live the blessed life that Jesus has come to give. Amen. And one of the ways in which we live along the grain of God's good design is that we are a people who rest. Last week, David started this topic about rest, and this week, I'm going to continue that topic. And so this morning, we're actually going to jump into the book of Deuteronomy, because in this passage of Deuteronomy, God actually takes Genesis 2, the principle of Genesis 2, and he applies it to the people of Israel. And in light of that application, we have much to learn today. And so this is what it says, Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 17. Here it is. It says this. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. And this is the word of God. Let's take a moment. Let's pray together. Oh God, we thank you for your word, and we praise you that by your word, absolutely everything exists. And by your word, your people, the church, we exist. You spoke the word of your gospel, and your people responded to it. And so, God, I pray that you would do that today. As your word is being proclaimed, I ask that you would save somebody. Amen. As your word is being proclaimed, will you encourage somebody? Amen. Will you convict somebody? Will you shame somebody for your glory alone? Amen. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say,
amen.
Amen. So I don't know if you ever had a day like this one. Now, I remember a day in my not-so-distant past where absolutely everything was going wrong. Everything felt like work, and it was exhausting. The moment that my feet hit the floor, it was hard work being patient with my kids. It was hard work getting on the same page as my spouse. And don't even mention work. I pulled up to work and opened my laptop, and the hard email was staring at me in the face. And after the hard email came the hard conversation. And after the hard conversation came the hard meeting. Nothing came easy that day. And in the middle of that day, I started to imagine the place where I knew that I could go, where I could trade my hard work for rest. I could see it. It was my bed. I love my bed, y'all. The down mattress topper, the memory foam pillow, even have the blackout curtain so that there's not an ounce of light in the room. It screams rest, and that afternoon it was screaming more than rest. It was screaming my name. And so I limp through the rest of the day, and I finally make it there. I lay down on my down mattress topper. Before that, I close my blackout curtains, and then I lean my head back on my memory foam pillow, and I close my eyes. I have finally made it, and as soon as I close my eyes, I hear it. a cricket. And at that moment, the place that had promised me rest all day made me work. Man, you could see me. I was prowling around the room with the lights on, with a shoe in my hand, trying to silence the cricket. I worked all day, y'all, and even the place that had promised me rest had let me down. Listen, for too many of us today, we are overextended and we are tired and we can't stop. And the reason why we can't stop is because there is a cricket in the room that won't let us rest. Julia Chovitz, author, she wrote this book called A Sabbath World, and she calls this noise the inner murmur of self-reproach. Hang with me. The reason why so many of us are overextended and are tired and our minds can't stop working even though our bodies are still, it's because all we can hear, even in our most restful moments, is this phrase that keeps pushing us to keep moving. And the noise sounds something like this: you are not enough. And you constantly think that if you work hard enough, you'll find the rest. If you work hard enough, you can silence the noise, and it's not enough. You can't stop. You got a job, and even when you're not at work, you're still thinking about it. And in moments where your body is at rest, your soul is still churning. Amen. Or maybe for you, you're looking for work right now, and you're exhausted in the search. You haven't been successful, and all you can hear is you are not enough. Maybe it doesn't have to do with a vocation that you get paid to do. Maybe for you, you can't stop worrying if you're a good enough parent for your kids. For many of you, you can't stop worrying. Your soul is still churning because you feel like you're not good enough for people. You think that if you just developed the right skincare routine or worked really hard to look a certain way, or if you were just impressive enough, then the people around you would accept you. A potential spouse might accept you. Y'all, we can't silence the noise. And to our restless souls this morning, I want you to know that you have a Savior who offers you rest. Amen. He does. Not just for your bodies, y'all, but he offers you rest for your soul as well. Amen. As we consider this, I want us to walk through Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15 today. Deuteronomy 5 is Moses reminding the children of the ones that God had rescued from Egypt. He's reminding them of the heart and the law of God. And in Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 through 15, he actually reminds them of the Sabbath. And in this passage, there are some principles that we can also learn today. Catch verses 12 through 14. It puts it this way. It says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you." You see, in this text, what we see is we see a description of the Sabbath given to the people of God, the ancient people of Israel. And in this text, we see that God commands them to not work, to relax, to kick your feet up, to chill, to do absolutely nothing. And what I love about this is that in other places like Exodus 3 and Ezekiel 20, it is declared that the Sabbath was a sign of God's covenant with the people of Israel. Meaning this, catch this, y'all. The sign that God gave the people of Israel to hold up to themselves and to the nations around them and to the world to demonstrate that God was with them, the fact that God had chosen them, the sign for that was not God giving them a superpower, it was God giving them a limit. Hang with me. You think that God would say, "Hey, listen, since you're mine, as a sign of that, I'm gonna make you bigger and I'm gonna make you stronger than anybody else." But no, God didn't do that. God didn't give them a superpower. God gave them a limit. He said, "The sign that I am yours and that you are mine is that I'm going to limit your work week to 6 days a week, and you're going to take a day off to rest and rejoice in me." And hear me this morning. While I don't believe that Christians are called to obey the Sabbath in the same exact way as Israel did, If you want more on that, listen to the sermon from last week. But there are so many principles of rest that we find here that are certainly applicable to us today. And here's one. Rest is an opportunity to rejoice in your limits. Amen. Rest is an opportunity to rejoice in your limits. Why? Because listen, y'all, we live in an overworked and weary world. Yep. I recently saw some data that it was listing the top overworked cities in America. And this list had Arlington at number one, Alexandria at number two, and Washington, D.C. somewhere down the line as well. This is an overworked region where we work more than the allotted hours and we don't take our full rest time. Our bosses literally tell us, take time off, and we say, good, we'll forget that, we'll still work. It's wild. We're an overworked people. And one of the opportunities, hear me, that we have an opportunity to witness to God's presence in our lives is not simply with Christians doing things impressively, but we witness to the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives when Christians do nothing joyfully. But that's not us, right? We often rest reluctantly, or we think that rest is for the weak. But listen to me, the scriptures proclaim this in Psalm 103, that it's okay to be limited. Psalm 103 declares that God knows your frame, he remembers that you are dust. I absolutely love this because God knows the limits of your bodies. And instead of looking at your limit with disappointment, he says, rest and rejoice in the fact that while you're limited, I am not. Amen. So the question we should have is, if that is God's heart towards us, why is it so hard for us to rest well? Take a look at verse 15. Verse 15, Moses is reminding the second generation of the work of God. He gives them the Sabbath, and he says in verse 15, he says, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Let me tell you what's happening here. In this text, Moses is reminding them how hard their parents had it. They are the free generation. Their parents had experienced slavery. Their parents had experienced a Pharaoh who all he said was work, 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 work. Pharaoh promised them freedom, but he never gave it. I don't know if you remember the story, but Moses kept going to Pharaoh. He kept saying, let my people go. And Pharaoh kept faking it. He kept saying, yeah, you're free to go. He would dangle freedom and rest before the people of God, only at the last minute to snatch it back. And I want to come home to your neighborhood today. The interesting thing is that in the New Testament, Egypt was often used synonymously with the world. And hear me this morning, there are so many places where our world promises you freedom and rest, and it never delivers it. Amen. It's like those free personality and IQ tests online. I don't know if you've ever taken one, but you do all the work to fill them out, and in the end, when you get to the last page, it says, pay to see the results. Yep. And guess what, y'all? That's our world. Making you work for your rest and never delivering on his promise. Our church father, Augustine, said the human heart is restless and we are searching for anything that would give us rest. Our world screams that you'll find rest in a successful career, in a nice home, in a big family, in an expensive vacation. And we do all the work to get the rest. And if we're honest, we're either not fully satisfied at the end of it all, or the work is never done. Matter of fact, our world is happy to keep you restless. Corporations stoke your restlessness through advertising and then declare that they can solve your restlessness if you buy their product. Politicians stoke your restlessness through fear and rage and then declare that they can solve it if you just give them their vote. And all we're left is used, tired, weary, and dissatisfied. Yep. Our world has its own version of Matthew 11:28. Our world says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you more work. It's never enough. And to that anxiety, the God of heaven speaks a word of hope into that. And he declares that he is different than everybody else. Everyone else is telling you to work yourself to death. And he's offering you rest this morning. Hear me this morning. Rest is an opportunity for you to remember your Savior. Rest is the opportunity for you to remember your Savior. This is what I love about verse 15. God declares in verse 15 to the ancient people of Israel that Pharaoh worked you down to the bone, but I saved you. And so now you can rest and rejoice in me. Amen. And listen to me, this morning, God tells his church the same exact thing. God offers you rest from your striving this morning, ladies and gentlemen. He does. Hear this. You will never be able to physically rest from your work until you know the spiritual rest that God offers you.
Amen.
Listen, we come to our work, whether that's paid or unpaid, thinking that I can solve all of my problems if I expend more energy. We think that our achievement can fill the emptiness that we feel inside. We think if I get the promotion, if I get the job, if I get the right wife or husband, if I get the kids, if I get the house, then it will give me what I need. And that's wrong. The need or the emptiness that you have inside of you, is it any of that? The need and the emptiness that you have inside of you should signal you to your need for the God of the universe. Blaise Pascal once said it this way, that ancient philosopher. He said that we all have a God-sized hole in our hearts that we attempt to fill with achievement and work, and it doesn't fill it. Hear me this morning. If you don't know Jesus, your problem is that you have been separated from the God of the universe, and your sin has done it. So the question is if your emptiness is caused by your separation from God, how are you now united with him? It's not by more work. You can't do enough to close the gap to make God happy with you. But the beautiful thing is this, is that God himself came to you in the person and work of his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came and he lived the life that you couldn't. He died on a cross in your place for your sin. He took the penalty that you deserve for your sin so that you can trust in him and have the approval of God and the satisfaction that your soul craves. Our Jesus says this to you, Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. McLean Bible Church, that's good news this morning. But hear me, I know what you're thinking. If you are a Christian this morning, you might look at me and you say, Eric, I already know that. I know that Christ gives me rest from my work. I know that Christ has saved me, and yet I am still addicted to my work. What do you have for me this morning? Well, hear this. Your addiction to your work might be an indication that you haven't allowed your rest in Jesus to impact your work.
Amen.
Listen, so much of our anxiety and our nervousness that we have around our work is because we don't actually believe that Jesus has given us rest. So much of our anxiety around work is born out of a deep need for the approval of other people. Let me ask you a question this morning. How would your life change if you truly believe that because of the work of Jesus Christ, you have the approval of the God of the universe? And to that question, I want to give you some practical help this morning in how to bring the rest that you have in Christ down to bear on your day-to-day life. So let me give you a few charges. Here's one. One, rest in Christ while you work throughout the day.
Yes.
Rest in Christ while you work throughout the day. Let me give you a verse here. Romans 12:2 puts it this way. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, one of the things that this verse is saying is that day by day, moment by moment, even as you work throughout the day, our world has a shaping influence on your life. And if you're not careful, our world can shape you into its way of thinking. And one way that the world will shape you, if you're not careful, is this. Our world will shape you to believe that your worth comes from your performance. And instead, this verse is declaring that instead of being conformed, you have the opportunity to be transformed.
Amen.
Listen, it is too tempting to believe that the satisfaction your heart needs is dependent on the success of your work project. It is too tempting for you to believe that the happiness your heart needs is dependent on how hard you work to get your kids in the best colleges. It is too tempting to believe that your joy is found in your success in finding and keeping the perfect spouse. And every day you are presented with opportunities to be conformed to the pattern of the world, and God has given the believer in Christ a tool in your tool belt to resist being conformed and to instead being transformed. And hear me this morning. That tool is prayer. That tool is prayer. Prayer is how we are able to rest in Christ throughout our days, even when your hands are full with work. Listen, the scriptures tell us in so many places to pray without ceasing. And listen, yes, you should pray. You can pray for success at work. In the scriptures, we see prayers all over the place for success with our hands. We see one at Psalm 90:12. It says this. It says, "Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So listen, it is not wrong for you to pray for success in your efforts. However, listen to me. It is so dangerous for you to pray for God to establish the work of your hands before you've rested in the work of his son's hands. So I want to encourage you to rest throughout your day. How do you do that? Listen, when anxiety wells up at your job, pause and pray. Sure, pray for success. But before you do, pray that God will help you remember that the satisfaction your soul needs is not found in the success that you have at your work or in a promotion. No, the satisfaction your heart needs, you already have, because you have a Savior who was successful in his work, and he was exalted to the right hand of the throne of God.
Amen.
Listen, when anxiety wells up in you as a parent, pause and pray. Sure, pray for the success of your kids. Feel free. But before you do, you need to pray that God will help you to remember that your ultimate joy is not in how successful your son or daughter is. No, your ultimate joy you already have, because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was already successful in his work and mission.
Amen.
Listen, when anxiety wells up in you because you're working, trying to find the right friendships, or you're working to try to find the spouse, listen, pray. Pray for success. But before you do, pray that God will help you to remember that the fullness of joy that God offers you is not found in friendships. It's not found in a mate. You already have access to the fullness of joy because Jesus Christ is available to you. In his presence, there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand are pledges forevermore.
Amen.
Prayer is a way that we can rest even though our hands are full. Remember the gospel. But not only am I calling you to rest throughout your day, I want to encourage you this morning to rest in Christ as you sleep at the end of your day. Psalm 127:2 puts it this way. It says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives his beloved sleep.
Amen.
Man, I love that last line. He gives his beloved sleep. Listen, there are many things that will rob you of a good night's sleep. There are many wise things that you can do to make sure that your body is winding down at night so you can rest at night. It might mean turning off all the blue light of your screens and your television. It might mean watching what you eat before you go to bed. However, for too many of us, we can allow the anxieties of the day to rob us from God's good gift of sleep at night. Y'all, I got a child who was a future hoarder. And the reason why is this, because anytime we go somewhere, his hands are always full. He always has stuff, and he always says, just in case he needs it. Bro's hands are always full, and it's often the case that I have something to give him, and he can't receive it because he doesn't want to let go of what is in his hands. So I often had to say to him, hey, hold on, man, give me what you got so you can take what I got. Listen, Psalm 127:2 declares that God has sleep for his beloved. And for so many of us, we can't take the sleep because our hands are full of our anxieties. And we have a Savior that declares, give me what you got so that you can take what I have for you. I've got rest for you. And listen, we need to practice resting in Christ often at bedtime. Hear me this morning. Jesus can handle the weight of your anxiety today because Jesus handled something far heavier 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, Jesus bore the weight of sin on his shoulders, past, present, and future. Hear me, your anxieties are lightweight to Jesus. Cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. So here's one practical thing that could possibly help. I'm not saying that this is a magic pill. I know for many of us, we experience restless nights. And for some of us, we have anxiety that might require intervention. However, whoever you are, know that when you cast your anxieties on Jesus, he bears them. So this maybe could look something like this. When you're lying in bed and your eyes are shut, and that day's anxieties are washing over you yet again. Maybe it's the unfinished work that you didn't get to, or maybe it's the nasty email that you got. Maybe it's a situation that you can't solve, or the relationships that are hard, or anything like that. I want to invite you to pour out your heart to God. Pour out your anxieties to him. Name your anxiety. And then maybe say something like this. God, thank you that the anxiety that I just named is not mine to hold. I give this anxiety to you. God, help me to receive your gift of rest. Amen. Guys, let's rest in Christ at the end of our days. But not only that, let's rest in Christ on your day off for one whole day. Look at Genesis 2, 1 through 3. It says this. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy. For on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. I love here because what we see is a pattern of creation established. God was creative, he was productive, he worked hard, and he rested. And as a result, as human beings made in his image, we're to do the same exact thing. So I want to encourage you to take a day of rest. I promise you, God can handle the world when your feet are up. So take a day of rest. I want to encourage you guys with some categories. I want a hat tip. One of the pastors at NBC Arlington, Pastor Joe Carter, at our location for these. But on your Sabbath, feel free to take contemplative rest. What is that? Take some time to enjoy God. Amen. Your rest is not just meant for your exhaustion. You don't simply rest because you work. We actually need to rest from our work. And one of the ways that we rest and our rest leads us towards work is that we spend our rest worshiping God. Amen. So take some time during your day off to enjoy God through prayer and scripture reading and worship. Not only contemplative rest, take recreational rest. Listen, take some time to do some things that just aren't productive, but you enjoy them. But catch this, y'all, do this for the glory of God, though. Because I know we got some people in here that some of the things that you might find recreationally restful ain't holy. And the church said amen. That's right. So now take recreational rest for the glory of God. But also take aesthetic rest. Take some time to enjoy God's creation. That can mean getting outside or enjoying art. Remember this, that when God rested, he looked around at the world that he had made and he declared it good. An aesthetic rest is a way that we can look around at God's creation and see it as good as well. Amen. But here's the thing, I know what you're thinking, many of you at least. How am I supposed to rest with kids at home? Yo, listen, I'm there, I get it. Listen, I know that diapers are not aesthetic rest. I get it. Listen, parenting is a full-time role. And it feels like there's no days off. And hear me this morning, this is why the community of the church is so incredibly important. What might it look like for people who are able to come around young parents and to give them a few hours so that they can take rest? But I've been so encouraged by a McLean Bible Church and even at the Arlington location and how I've seen that happen throughout our church. So I want to encourage you to find a way to rest on your day off for one whole day. But I do want to give this caveat. I know for many of you, you feel like you can't take a day off. When I grew up in a household with a single mother who worked her hands to the bone for me and my brother. And for her, a day off was a luxury. It wasn't that she resisted rest, she couldn't find it. I think about people even beyond my mother in more dire straits than her. We live in a world in which there are slaves all around our world even today, and they can't rest. What hope is there for them? And I want to encourage you. I don't know if anyone's listening, you find yourself in any of those places. I want to encourage you to rest throughout your day, to rest at the end of your day. But here's the hope I want to give you. This is my last point today. Rest in Christ as you anticipate that great day. Amen. Rest in Christ as you anticipate that great day. Ben, you guys are going to come back out. Hebrews 4:9-11 says it this way. It says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For those who have entered God's rest have also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. You know what these verses are describing? That there is a rest to come. Y'all, the writer of Hebrews is declaring that this world is not all that there is. The Sabbath of the Old Testament ultimately pointed to something else, the rest that we have in Christ. And then there will be a day when Christ returns, and all who have rested in Christ's finished work of salvation will rest in a new heaven and a new earth later. And in that, there is hope for the overworked. There is hope for the tired. There is hope for the weary. That rest is coming. And there's a day that there will be no more mourning, no more tears, no more pain, and we will rest fully in the presence of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Thanks be to God. Amen. So how do we anticipate that rest today? Here's one way. We obey Jesus.
Yes.
And we tell other people about the rest that they can find in Christ. And thinking about rest, this past Monday, I was out of town. I was in Connecticut because my cousin, who's around my same age, she passed away. She went on to her eternal rest in Christ. It was cancer. She was young. And I praise God that before she passed away, it seems as if she made a profession of faith in Christ. And yet, when I attended the funeral, the pastor stood up and he preached a eulogy that was filled with great oration, and yet it had no gospel. He sounded amazing. He had incredible rhetoric. And yet the theme of his sermon was that the receipts of my cousin's life were proof that she was accepted by God. The fact that she loved her family and the fact that she helped under-resourced students get a college education, that this was proof that her works deemed her acceptable before the God of the universe. And all I wanted to do in that moment was to stand up and yell, "You got the gospel wrong." The receipts of my cousin's life, or anyone's life for that matter, is not enough to earn our salvation and eternal rest.
Amen.
If my cousin trusted in her work, in the work of her life, as payment to enter into the rest of heaven, she is still paying for it.
Yep.
Her receipts and our receipts say insufficient funds because she can't do enough to earn her eternal rest, and we can't do enough to earn our eternal rest. No, the gospel that we proclaim and that she professed is this, that there is only one who has done the work to earn the eternal rest. There is only one who has done the work to earn our salvation, and that is the God-man, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived the perfect life. He died on the cross, taking the punishment that we deserve for our sin. Jesus rose again, giving the opportunity for anyone who would come to him, the opportunity to be forgiven, to rest in the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ, and to receive the rest that is sure to come in him. But Claim Bible Church, may we proclaim that this rest is possible in the way that we rest our bodies. And may we also proclaim that this rest is possible in how we get out here and we declare to other people that rest is to be found not in our works, but in the work of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. The Claim Bible Church, let's rest well today. Amen. As we end, I want to invite you to take a time to reflect. I want you to consider an area of your life. We talked about many different areas today, but I want you to consider an area of your life where you need to actively rest in the work that Christ has done for you, and how you maybe need to demonstrate that practically and physically. Do you need God's help to rest while you work? Is work this anxious place that you feel with dread and you think that you gotta make it to be somebody? No. The greatest title that you have is not employee. The greatest thing that you can get is not promotion. No, the greatest title that you have is that you are a son and daughter of the living God. Amen. And that means that you can rest even while you work. Amen. So do you need God's help to rest while you work? Here's another one. Do you need God's rest? Do you need God's help to rest in Christ before you sleep? For many of us, when you lay down at bed at night, you spend a night in fits and starts of sleep because the anxieties of the day are washing over you. And we need to give God our anxiety so that we can receive his peace and rest. Do you need God's help to rest in Christ by resting one day a week? And then also, do you need God's help to rest in Christ by hoping in his return? I want to give you a quiet moment now to express your need for Jesus, to ask for his help. Take a moment to reflect. And after you do, either I or someone else at your location will take it from there. Go ahead and do that now. Lord Jesus, we bless your name today. And Father, I pray that you'll give us hearts like the psalmist David described when he said, I have learned to quiet my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Father, I pray, God, that the work of your son, Jesus Christ, will quiet the murmur in our hearts that keeps us working, that declares that we are not enough. Thank you so much that Jesus came. He lived the perfect life. He died on the cross and he rose again from the dead, filling the God-sized hole in our hearts. And help us to understand that we have the love of God in Christ. So, Father, I pray that we'll stand tall today, understanding that all that we need, we have for you, we have from you. And we don't have to work to rest. Because we are in Christ, we can work from rest. So, Father, will you fill our longing souls? Will you teach our bodies to rest? And, Father, may our peace and our rest be a powerful witness to the world around us. And may we open our mouths and declare the rest that other people can have as a result of your gospel so that others can come to know you too. God, help us. Help us to rest in you. I pray these things in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say, amen. Amen. Amen.